Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel like I've been preaching here since I was young, but every time it's different. I still feel young. You know, so often God works in our lives when we're young, arrogant. And God uses our arrogance to teach us our foolishness when we follow our ways. That our ideas, not his ideas, our thoughts, our timetables, not his thoughts and timing. And knowing some of you for many years, and many of you are new, and to see all the children that gather here is a reminder how fleeting and short our life is, how short our time is here, that you and I, this place, is insignificant to the world, but hardly meaningless. The worth beyond measure, only because your Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Follow me. Now is his visitation, Epiphany. Do not let these days, these times pass by without being and living intentionally Christian. Don't take these times for granted without receiving his kingdom. You know, your phone has apps that you can help you find places, right? And to get directions, to get somewhere. You know, I don't have much use for that. That men like me have this innate gift of direction. That we don't have to ask for directions. And I'm sure there are many men in our congregation that they don't need those apps. They rarely ever get lost. Well, actually, we're all pretty good at getting lost. Not finding our way. Or rather, how readily we are to follow ways that serve us best. We follow the world. Follow what feels good. Follow what seems right. Follow what you want. Follow tempting ideas. I mean, the worst advice ever is to follow your heart and follow your dreams. Follow me. Here is discipleship. All of Christianity, the totality of faith, wrapped up in a two-word sentence. And there's no enticements, no embellishments, no attempt to persuade, no rhetoric, no coffee and donuts, not even a single adjective or adverb. The subject only implied, just a verb, an object. Follow me. But where does he lead them? To persecution, mockery, death. He leads the disciples through the occupied promised land, defiled by the Romans, and under the Pharisaical abuse, without a place to lay his head in the kingdom, until this king receives his crown on a cross, and his head is laid to rest in a tomb. Follow me. He leads them to death. Even their own death, as all but one are martyred. That he is born outside the inn. He dies outside the city. He is an outsider from start to finish. He brought nothing into the world. And he left behind nothing but his word that endures forever. His word, which is folly to a world that is perishing and those who follow the world. I mean, his word in power that you cannot comprehend, especially with water, bread, and wine. His word in power that is spoken to you, that actually removes your sins and makes you holy. And he, his word, he has called you. Perhaps not as a fisherman, although some of the young men here may very well be. And maybe some of the young girls might marry fishermen. But he gathers, you fish. I mean, and here's the surprise of the text. I mean, look at what comfort there is for you Gentiles. He calls fishermen to be his disciples. And I know what you're thinking. That's not right. Why isn't Jesus calling shepherds? Okay, maybe you weren't thinking that, but you should have been. I mean, the Lord is always calling shepherds. Noah was a shepherd. Abraham is a shepherd. Isaac and Jacob and Moses is a shepherd. David, Amos, so many of them, shepherds. Ezekiel 34, the Lord says the prophets are the shepherds of his people. Jesus even calls himself a shepherd. And the good shepherd calls his sheep by name, you, and lays down his life for them. And so now, this fisherman, fish things. You see, but the sea and the fish were signs of the Gentiles, even noted in the text. You see, those two tribes of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali, they before the tribes crossed into the promised land, they all drew lots. Where do you get to settle your people? Where does your tribe get to go? And they drew lots to settle way, way up north in the outer lands. And these were the first lands to be destroyed. They were very much infected by the Gentiles. Why? They did not repent. They did not heed our Lord's call from his prophets to stop. Oh, they gave lip service to God, but they lived like the world lives. They accepted what the world accepts. I mean, it's not unlike the people who call themselves Christians today. You know, they were killing babies and living sexually immoral. And those lands up to the north, they get conquered first. And these are tainted by the Gentiles. And that's where Jesus is, comes from. And he will restore the land and receiving the gospel there too. As this goes out into all the seas and all the lands of Gentile fish. As you heard from the prophet Isaiah tell you, and you even sing it, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. You are a fish. The caught, drawn into his nets, he cast. And you did not jump in the boat. You are caught by grace to follow him in places in your holy vocations that he has placed you. You have holy vocations that you live in. And he has called you by name. And you know, he gave you no choice. You did not choose me. I chose you. I draw you to myself. And that is not to say that you cannot now reject this grace, like a fish that's caught that jumps back into the sea. And indeed, Judas was called like Andrew and Matthew and James and John. And Peter, as you heard today, but he threw his lot in with the devil and received the devil's reward. Elected by grace, you had no choice in conversion. His word made you what it said. But nonetheless, his call is not of the law. He does not coerce. He will not force his love on anyone. And you do now have a choice. I mean, you have, in fact, many choices each day. And oh, how often we make such disgusting choices. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the summary of all Christian preaching. That's what you should hear. John the Baptist, the prophets, Peter at Pentecost, Jesus first preaching, it's all repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. No, we'd rather hear and be told how good we are. We want upbeat messages and not words of the law to crush how you followed your desires. Repent, he says, that you and I have followed ways that lead to eternal death. Followed ways that serve ourselves first, that hurt ourselves, and it hurts others. And ways that don't care about others. Follow his words, his teaching, his doctrine. And you can see that the ways of this world, even things of Christendom, have gone so wrong. And people follow lies. God help us all. He says repent. He intends the whole life of the Christian to be one of repentance. A daily, continuous return to your baptism. The old self in you would drown and die. Yes, a death. That you die and you rise to follow him. Follow me. The life that you now live. His works in you. By his precious word and holy sacraments. And it welcomes you again to his table. Again and again, his call goes out. It goes forth. And the word does its work in your life. It does what it says. And he draws you to him, his gifts. Follow me out of the darkness, out of the shadow of death. The death in him is no death at all. A life that has no end, that you bask in his kingdom today and for eternity. That is where he leads you. In the name of Jesus, amen.